Welcome back to Your Ball Was Out podcast with Philip from Tweener Head Tennis. Today we have a very special guest with Max from Backstage Tennis. If you haven't heard of Max, you are not following one of the greatest storytellers in the tennis world as of right now. Max is creating one of the biggest brands of storytelling in the world of tennis with his Backstage Tennis Instagram account and YouTube channel. And we were lucky enough to have him on, and we are very grateful to have him on. He has a way of working with these players where you get to be the fly on the wall in these situations, and you get to be in depth without feeling like players have to put on a facade. And I'm very grateful to have him on and to listen to his creative experience and listen to his storytelling abilities and how he ended up being one of the most recognizable names in tennis content creation. He was there for the Davis Cup win for Italy when Sinner played Novak, when they were a part of that winning season. And I can't wait to share his story with you. Make sure you are following us on all podcast platforms. Make sure you are subscribed to the Tweener Head Tennis YouTube channel as well. And I hope you guys enjoy our chat with Max from Backstage Tennis.
So, Max.
Yep.
You seem to be the guy that has unlimited access to Italian tennis. And with your account with Backstage Tennis, some of the places you have gone and some of the people you have mic'd up is incredible. Just want to say, Max, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
Of course. How did you start this page?
A lot of people don't know this, but I had like a 12-year period where I was director in Brazil. I actually used to work in cinema. So my dream was to win Cannes Film Festival. That was like my goal. Okay. So I studied in a university in England, and after that I went to Brazil and I lived there for 10 years.
Wow.
So, yeah. For 12 years, I did cinema. I started off in, it's actually a crazy story. I started off in the Brazilian slums. When I stopped playing tennis, I started boxing. I fell in love with boxing. And so I knew the slums because it was the only place where you could actually train at a good level. And there I met some hip hop artists and I started shooting hip hop videos. So that's how my career started. Yeah. And so my love with tennis stopped when I was 17 because, you know, it's the sport of the devil and I just had enough of it. And as I told you, I fell in love with boxing. And then after that, like 14-year period I lived outside Italy, I decided to come back after the birth of my daughter. Mm-hmm. It was a bit of a crazy, dangerous place where I used to live in. I didn't want my daughter to grow up there. So I decided to come back to my roots, come back to Genoa, Italy. And I slowly fell in love with tennis again because it was a very difficult period for me, because in Brazil I was a successful director and I chose to sell everything and start all over again at 30-year-old in Italy.
Wow.
And so for a period of time, for like a year, I used to get like, I don't know, like I had zero clients. So I used to get like 800 euros a month for a year with my daughter, and my wife wasn't working yet. So I fell into a dark period of, you know, anxiety, depression. And I started asking myself if I was actually good. And in that period, I was just walking by a tennis court and I saw my first trainer there, older, white hair. And I stopped by. I was weighing actually 97 kilograms. I gained a lot of weight and I was eating a lot of junk food. I just didn't have like a direction, you know?
No path.
Exactly. So I saw him and I walked and he recognized me, and he didn't recognize me because it was like 25 years we weren't seeing each other.
Wow.
Like, I'm Max. Ah, Max, how are you doing? And I'm like, would you train me again? I don't know why I said that. I thought it was just the right thing to do. So I just fell in love with tennis all over again. We started training, and So I actually put together video, which was my job, and tennis, which slowly became my passion all over again. And I specialized in video analysis and match analysis, and then I just couldn't help it. But I always liked to tell stories. I was always a storyteller, and so I put together Tennis with Storytelling, and I opened a YouTube channel called Dietro l'Atleta, Behind the Athlete, because I wanted to put something out there that I wanted to see and didn't exist. So I was thirsty for storytelling content in tennis, and I'm a fan of American series like of basketball and Netflix series on American football and stuff. And I'm like, why doesn't this exist in tennis? So okay, it's not out there, I'm gonna do it, and so I started following players, junior players that needed visibility. Like at the time, there were Musetti was like 300 in the world, and Arnaud was like 1,000 in the world. And I knew they would become good, not this good, but I knew they would become good. So I started following them, and this YouTube channel exploded. And then after, but still, I didn't gain money with it, and because it was just a passion. And things started happening when I decided to get what I shot on that channel and cut it into small reels and just throw it on Instagram. And that's where everything started happening.
So for there's so much I want to unpack from that, because for you, when it came to storytelling and directing, how did you translate that knowledge or that passion into doing it for tennis? Do you do it along the same structure that you would if you were doing it for a film, or did you just start cutting up pieces of a random video you shot, or is there a way you do it?
No, there is a way I do it, actually. So I didn't make it as a cinema director for various reasons. I didn't make it because I don't think I was, I'm not going to say I wasn't good enough. For sure, I wasn't one of the best. I was just average as a director, but I knew I could become really good if I, but I wasn't, it takes a long time to become a director, and I wasn't willing to pay the price with a daughter. And it's quite an, if you're not son of someone or you're not like a phenom at that,
If you
you
don't know
need to
someone or you're not
exactly
part of the
like
industry,
it
it's going to
takes
be a lot harder to kind of get your way in.
exactly. And it takes a lot of years. And I was like 30. I'm like, okay, I've been doing this for 12 years. I didn't get like one single euro out of this. I got like a lot of awards and stuff, but awards don't pay the bills. So, and also I wanted to do something more immediate, like to make a film, it takes like 3, 4 years time, I wanted something that I could use and just throw it and to the people and just get an immediate feedback. So that's where I started going on the web. And but yeah, so answering to your question, there is a storytelling. So for those 10, 12 years, I just learned how to tell a story. There's actually, it's like, it's, there's screenplayers for a reason. It's an actual job. Like, how do I tell a story? So I had this, the bar was this high in cinema. I had this parameter, and when I went to the web, the parameter I was used to just went like this. So I still, I st because there was so much and there is so much garbage online, so I got this parameter and I applied it to the web, and that's where it clicked. Like people used to say, I don't see this kind of quality online, and that's where it started clicking. That's why I was very reluctant to go on TikTok, and I'm there, but I actually have a guy that does it for me. I don't like the platform because I don't like the fact that there's so much garbage in it, you know. And still, for me, it's difficult to tell a story in a minute and a half vertically.
Yeah,
It's
which
a
is,
death of cinema, you know.
yeah, well, it's, I think you nailed the quality over quantity. TikTok is about how much content you can put out there at a short period of time. Instagram, on the other hand, you seem to have captured a way of storytelling, still in a shorter form of content, but in a better way of narrating it. Because you've honestly, it looks like you've dealt with some of the best Italian talent. Like you said, you've done Musetti, now Berrettini's brother, Luciano, who is it, Daddario?
Pardon, yeah.
Yeah, him. Like, you seem to have captured all of them, and you've captured it in a way that people wanna watch it. And for you to even Maestrelli as well. That's another name that we forgot to mention as well. For you, what was the moment or realization that this could work on Instagram or a shorter form for you?
Just putting the material online and just seeing an explosion. I remember one night something happened. I couldn't sleep because I wanted to do this so bad. I couldn't sleep. I had actually like insomnia because I was editing like the second thing I put on the second reel I put on Instagram, and I just couldn't sleep. I was so excited about it, and I felt something, and it was like 2 a.m. in the morning, and I got up, and I couldn't sleep if I didn't correct the things that I had in my mind on that reel. It was about Musetti.
Yeah.
And I just got up and got back to work at 2 a.m. and I finished at 4 a.m. and I laid down, and I swear I felt something's good is about to happen. I just
Yeah.
felt it. I just felt goosebumps while I was editing that episode, and I felt I was doing something that was worth watching, you know. I just felt it. And from that video on, the channel just started exploding. And honestly, I wasn't ready for that. Like, I
In
always
what way?
knew I wasn't ready. I always knew I would do something good in my life because I worked my ass off so much. And I knew one day it was going to happen. But I didn't know when. And when it happened so fast. Like, I used to see the followers just. It's shocking. Like, if you're not used to it, it's shocking. Just like my channel was about me, and it had like 1,000 followers for like 2 years, and I didn't understand why. And all of a sudden, like, boom, it exploded. I couldn't stop receiving messages and stuff. And I went to the Internazionale, the Masters of Rome, and people started asking, like, Max from Backstage Tennis, can I take a photo and stuff? And it's like it was just too much for me. And I was used to being always in the shadow, and now that everything happened, just it was unexpected and just too much. But then I got quite used to it, and I started understanding what people wanted to see. And gaining the trust of the players, which I think is the central part in we're talking about here. So
And that's the hardest part too. And it's funny, you kind of did the opposite of what you did in directing, right? You didn't know anyone. You knew some people, but you didn't have a way in. You just did it on your own. It was the complete opposite of knowing someone and being that phenom, but you just used your own talent to gain the trust of these tennis players to tell their stories, to go into their practices and kind of show people what they're working on or what their daily process is like. And now that you're doing a mini series on Serie A tennis, it's seeing that other side of it, right? So for you, looking at the content that you have made for tennis players, tennis coaches, what's one piece of content that you've created for anything that made you very proud, or what was the best piece of content you think you created for your Instagram?
Wow, that's a difficult question.
Or is there one that you're most proud of, or like you love the way it turned out? Doesn't have to be your favorite.
That's tough. 'Cause I was counting, like a couple of months ago how many videos I edited in the last 2 years, and it was like more than 700 for my channel and for the federation which I work for, and it was just maybe the video I'm more proud of is it's like a sequence of one, two, actually three, four videos about Musetti in the off season, and it's the one that actually got like 1 million views, my first 1 million views, and it shows how the guy was like 18 in the world at the time, and he it shows how, the trainer was like, man, don't let me cuss you in front of the, because I'm mic'd up. Don't let me cuss you. Let me say bad things. But like, man up. Do you want to be a player or not? The guy's like 18 in the world, and his coach, do you want to be a pro? Like, I thought he was already a pro, he's like a phenom. But and that shows you exactly like how he's just a kid still. And we see them as robots, and this is what my channel is all about. It's about humanizing the player, and they're not robots. They're actual kids that didn't have youth. They lived their whole life for tennis, and they're kids, man. They're like kids. They never played like normal kids play,
They never just go out and hit for fun. It's their job. And people don't
Exactly.
realize that for tennis. Like seeing like 16-year-olds, even on the women's tour as well, you see these 16-year-old girls that are already making $200,000 a year, maybe more. And it's like they should be in high school. And they're traveling the world and spending all this money and training. And it's like, you're never going to have a normal life doing this.
What if you don't make it
Yeah,
after
exactly.
sacrifices? Can you imagine the tragedy that would be? Like, I call it a tragedy. I used to coach and I had these kids.
Today's episode is brought to you by Swing Vision. Swing Vision AI tracks your shots in real time using just an iPhone or iPad camera, giving you detailed statistics and video analysis of your tennis game, showing heat maps, smart filters, cutting down highlight time, and showing you detailed analysis of your game after your match and live line calling. That's a big feature that they have been using, and it's one of the most innovative apps out there for tennis training. We've been using Swing Vision since it came out, and we are very proud to be a brand ambassador for them. And if you guys want to get Swing Vision, if you use the link down in the description below, make sure to sign up and you get a free trial of the pro version of Swing Vision, as well as getting a free swing stick to help you set up your phone or tablet to record your matches. And now enjoy the rest of the episode.
And they were like, man, I want to drop out of school and study, online. And I was always against that. And the parents were pushing for it. And I'm like, man, your kid is like 11 years old, 12 years old. What are you talking about? Like, the guy can train and still have a social life. You know how many possibilities there are for your kids to make it? It's not because I don't believe in them. It's just the reality of things. Like, it's one out of a million. What are you talking about? Like, put your kid in school, have a plan. Obviously, don't be like, you guys have to travel a bit around Europe with me and see just the level. So you guys humble down and quickly think about a plan B, because it's okay to believe in it, but there's so many variables for this to happen. And like, these kids need to have a social life. These kids need to go to school. And so just answering your question, the video I'm more proud of is the one about Musetti, because it shows how much number 18 of the ATP ranking still has to improve to become the player he can be.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Seeing him, like, too, like, Musetti is how old now? 20,
23, something like that.
20,
23.
and he
Yeah.
has a kid now, too, right?
Yeah, he has a
It's
kid. Yeah.
like it, you're never gonna have a normal life. You're never gonna see what it's like to kind of see someone that has a 9-to-5 job, someone that has a regular routine, because we talk about their routines on court. What's the routine like at home? There is none, because you're always traveling, you're always going to a different place. And it's funny that you mentioned these parents that talk about their kids, how you want to pull them out of school. I only thought that happened in the US, but hearing that it happens abroad as well is kind of scary, because I'm a big advocate of school first, then athletics. So I love balancing my life was tough, but I loved having that normal life experience. In tennis, you don't get that.
Yeah. Like this is also why I'm a fan of these guys, and I like going on tour with them just to improve myself and just to, when I'm around with them and I see the amount of sacrifice these guys go through, it's like if I learn also to be a good professional myself, it's like if I get motivated because I see them do it close, like Jannik Sinner. People don't really know that guy, and this is what I really want to do. I would really like to tell him the way he really is, because I had the opportunity to see it up close, and he's just humble, workaholic, perfectionist. And like, can you imagine what it is like not being able to walk around your own city, like? People think about the money these guys are earning, but like they're not free, you understand? So they devote their whole life to their sport, their passion. And I think it's admirable, but difficult at the same time. So I'm just in love with all this aspect of how much these guys sacrifice their lives for a goal and just go full power in that direction,
You were, speaking of Sinner, you were at the Davis Cup that Italy won, correct?
Yeah.
What was that experience like, and what was it like shooting those moments?
Wow. Well, I'm looking right now at when Italy won, there was like an explosion of the three Italian colors,
The confetti.
Yeah, the confetti. And I just remember I said, this is a moment that I will remember for my whole life. And I get quite emotional talking about this because there are some moments in your life where, if you're present enough, that moment you will remember forever. Like, there's no chance you're gonna forget it. And I was just there, like, looking around and watching and seeing the guys just jumping and happy with what they had done. And I was like, I just wanna savor this moment. And I just had goosebumps all over my body. It's something incredible because I come from a generation where Italy was actually really bad at tennis. Like, I never would imagine we could get at this level, and we were actually the team to beat. So I looked on the ground and there were like thousands of white, red, and green confettis, and I looked around to see if someone was w looking at me, and I just got three confetti, put them in my pocket,
That's
and
amazing.
I now I have them in a I
A frame.
portrayed yeah in a frame, and I wrote the date, and I'm like champions of the world, and I
That's
felt
amazing.
a bit like I was champion of the world as well, because I told that story, like, this is incredible. Can you imagine? Just I'm gonna try and say it in a humble way, but it's difficult.
It is.
Like, I was the first video maker in Italy to tell the story of
Yeah.
the Italian Davis Cup team winning the World Cup of Tennis. It, like, as soon as I finished that night, I just laid down in my bed and I'm like, I was lucky enough to participate in something huge
Yeah.
for our country, you know, and made me just so proud. I don't know. I can't find the words.
It's one, it's amazing. Two, it's you became a part of history. And it's okay to say that because you are filming what's happening. It's like being first, you're people are going to say, you're going to tell people that you were there. You experienced what that was like firsthand. You're experiencing what it's like for these guys to become World Cup champions of tennis. It's, and I don't think it's bragging per se, but it's just the way that you tell it is emotional. It's passionate. It's in the present. And you do such a great job with telling those stories every single time you shoot a video, even for the World Cup of Tennis. It's indescribable. That's how I would say it.
Thank you, man. I remember one of the most impressive things I saw at that Davis Cup was Jannik Sinner up close. Like
Really?
I was sitting down on the photographer's video maker's bench, and it's courtside. And Jannik was playing against Djokovic in that match where Djokovic had like 3 match points. And I was like, it's done. Okay, like it's been a good ride. It's done. And just seeing what he did, he just flipped the game all over. And just like watching that level from up close, I had never seen something like that in my life.
Yeah.
I had never seen that level of tennis, that display of greatness from a tennis player so close. It was something like I had when I live these moments like there and at the ATP finals, when I feel there's something great historical happening, I'm
Yeah.
shooting it through my lens. So you don't have an objective point of view. You it's
Yeah.
like you're in this bubble and you don't understand
Yeah.
what's going on. So when I go back to my hotel, even though I'm crazy tired, I watch the highlights again. So you have an objective point of view and you're like, wow, like I actually saw that. And I text my friends. I'm like, man, is this guy playing like crazy tennis or is it just me because I'm here? The guys are like, no, like it's insane. And from that moment on, it's like he bossed up and he just went like this. And in the doubles, seeing him from the distance I'm at from this computer right now, seeing him hit those cross courts, like just hammering the ball. You know, I was trying to keep myself, professional, and like the guys from the Federation were like looking at me, and I was like, every single point, like shaking with my camera. And sometimes I was like, man, I don't want to shoot this point. I just let me see it. I just see the point. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna shoot now. It was just something insane. And I honestly think there is the possibility. It's not because I just root for my own country, but I honestly think there is the possibility of the guys winning again this year. I don't think it ever happened, but the team is just so good. And
Still so young.
with this Sinner guy, like and everything is possible. Like the guy is able to carry the whole team on his shoulder. He's just too good right now. So if it happens, it won't happen, but if it happens, I don't know, man. I think I'm gonna retire from tennis. I'm like, I'm done.
I
I've done.
quit. Like I don't need to hit another ball.
No,
It's
what can you imagine?
no, I can't. I think, but how do you stay that calm? Like for you too, seeing your own country, seeing people from your country. Like I feel like I've had issues with when I go to shoot or like I go to a college and I'm being hosted and I'm there with that team and I'm watching them play. How do you like, I feel like I get so into it that I have to like, I don't want to cheer, but I do. And then I'm like, okay, now I have to shoot again. How do you stay calm and professional in those moments? Because that has to be the toughest thing that you can do.
I don't stay calm and professional. I had an argument with a guy. I can't talk too much about this because they'll fire me. But I had an argument with a guy.
No names, no nothing, just.
Here, let me see how I'm gonna tell you this. I had an argument with a guy once that told me, "You need to be more.
Calm.
I see you watch the points. You just have to shoot. You're paid to shoot." And I'm like, listen, if you want to me to give you the emotion you gave me this job for, I need to watch the points. I need to watch part of the match. I need to feel what the I need to be part of the public, you know? Because how can you tell a story if you don't feel what's around you? How can you show the emotion of the people if you are not part of that game? I see countless video makers and photographers that hate the game, and they're just there, shooting. I'm the only guy that's like, am I the only one here, man? Like, man, so many guys, you've got no idea, backstage of photographers and video makers, they're like, oh
They
no, they
do it
went,
for a job.
man, they're like, they went to the third set. Ah, these freaking guys, third set, I'm gonna go late to sleep. I'm like, man, this is
You want to be
history.
up with them.
What are you talking about? I want this to become a fight so I can tell it. It's just a question of passion. So I told the guy, look, don't ever tell me again that I can't watch a point. Okay? Because when I do some good stuff, some good videos, you're the first one to tell me they're good. And you feel emotional about it. You feel emotional about it because I feel emotional as I do them.
Because
That's how
you're expressing it the same way. You have to be a part of the experience.
exactly, man. Like, it's the final of the Davis Cup. What are you talking about? Like, I want to be part of it as a fan and translate it in video, you know? If I don't have
That's
this possibility, then don't give me this job. I'd rather watch it in the public and not shoot anything, you know?
probably have more access through the public just shooting all the fans too. Like, that's incredible.
It's part of my job, man. I just love it. I love it, man.
So if I look up Davis Cup highlights, will I see you cheering with a camera in your hand? Okay, I'm gonna
Yes.
find that. I'm gonna go back to that Novak. I'm gonna go back to that Novak Sinner match, and I'm gonna try to find you in the crowd. Be like, this is where he is, and you see him put the camera down to experience it. I love
Yes,
that.
white shirt, man. I'm like, I swear, I'm like this, man. I swear. And I'm like, okay. And I shoot.
Focus. Focus. Stay focused. That's incredible. Is there someone that you want to shoot for, or that you dream? If you take, I'm gonna take Sinner out of this because I feel like you would say Sinner
Novak
immediately.
Djokovic.
Not even close.
Novak Djokovic.
Really?
And I'm gonna do this, man.
You're gonna put it out there to make it happen.
I'm trying. I'm trying with his manager. His manager is actually, this is like an anecdote. I was in the ATP finals last year and I was shooting Novak a bit too close, maybe. And these big players, you have to know how close you get because,
You have to give them their space.
obviously, and I got it just a bit too close to him. And I saw this guy, it's like his sparring partner, but also
His hidden
his
partner, but
manager. He has a lot of responsibilities in his staff. Charlie is his name, Carlitos, he's Spanish. And I saw him walking towards me. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna step back. Max? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, backstage tennis, best channel online
I
about tennis.
love that.
I'm like,
Oh.
man, no, you're kidding. I was red, man. I'm
Was
like, are
like,
you kidding?
Just frozen. Just like,
Yeah.
I don't know how to respond to this. Where?
Yeah. I was like, man, I thought I was too close to Novak. He's like, no, man, I swear the stuff you do is incredible. I love it. And I follow you and whatever. I was like this. So I texted him. I don't like to ask stuff because obviously these guys are used to this and I don't want to
Yeah.
ask stuff. I want to make it my way without asking for favors. But you know, one
Got
night
it.
I was there, I'm like, well, you know, whatever, I'll try. And I told him, would Novak be available for a backstage tennis episode? And he's like, it depends on the period of on the timing of the year. Like if
Yeah.
it's a timing where he doesn't do well, obviously it's more difficult because
Yeah.
he's focused on improving. But if it's a time where he's relaxed and everything, I don't see the problem. And so I'm gonna fight for
Amazing.
that. Yeah.
That's
I'm
amazing.
gonna imagine Novak Djokovic on backstage tennis, man. That would be great.
Talk about another million views coming at you every episode. Like,
Yeah, man. It's just about humanizing them, like just
that's
showing.
hard. It's one of the hardest things, though. It's one of the hardest things that you can do with a lot of this stuff, especially with, at least for me, from my experience, one of the hardest things, I love interviewing people. I love talking to people. I love telling their stories, by having kind of a casual conversation. But if you're doing it from afar, I feel like it's so much harder to give the audience an in-depth look without being invasive, if that makes sense, right? Because you want to give them their space, but you also want to show people what they're actually like. And with the way you create your content, it seems like you have that good balance of both, right?
It's like everyone has a incredible story. It's just you need to be able to tell it, you know? And you know, what I do is about telling the truth. The truth is always more interesting than making them say stuff. And so by miking them up and stepping away, I use a long range lens. And I just step away, and most of the time I'm not even on court. Like the guys forget I'm there.
Really? How far
Yeah.
are you usually?
Like sometimes I'm as far as 30 meters. I don't know how much that is
That's
in.
still a lot. So
Yeah,
you're
it's
off, so you're not even on court with them. You're basically just
most of the time
looking outside in.
they forget about me. If they look at me, for me it's a failure. Like I'm not doing
Really?
my job. Yeah. If they look at me and they sense my presence, for me, I failed. So I just
Why do you say that?
because I know they're acting. If they feel me, they're acting because the camera is judgment. When you
Interesting.
yeah, like that eye of the camera is the eye of thousands, millions of people watching you. So you just change the way you behave based on what the people think about you. But if you don't know that camera is filming you, you're actually yourself. And people want to see players as themselves. You know, Sinner is not what we see on TV. The
Yeah.
guy is just a playful kid
Yeah.
who talks nonsense 90% of the time. He's actually joking around and making fun of everyone.
He's not a
All
robot.
yeah, he's not. He's the opposite of what we see on TV.
Yeah.
But you know, there's too much distance between what we see in a match and who the guy really is. And
Yeah.
I think there is a huge gap between who these players are and how their life is, and us fans.
Yeah.
My goal is to fill that gap. You
So
understand what I mean?
how big's your lens?
My lens is like this big. It's a Sony 7200 millimeters. And yeah, it allows me to, you know, to zoom in and it's like I'm spying on their lives, you know. And there's something I think twisted in the brain of people and myself also, which is like this voyeuristic thing where we're in love with, and that's the That's why, I don't know if you have still Big Brother in the States, the
Yeah, we
TV.
do. It's
Okay.
I see where you're going with this. It's you want to be the quote unquote fly on the wall. You
Yeah.
don't want them to notice that you're there, but you want to capture what's happening if you weren't there. And
Yeah.
that's what you're trying to accomplish, correct?
Yeah, like this is like the dream when you ask some people, what's your dream? And some of them tell you to be invisible. Many people tell you to be invisible, to listen to what other people are saying without them noticing. Okay,
Yeah.
backstage tennis makes this possible, So it's like if you're invisible and
Not
you're
a
there.
creepy way, but in a very
No.
content creation way.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. It's
Yes.
like you're there with the players, man.
Yeah.
Like you're there with them. Can you imagine what I feel when I put those
Headphones.
earphones on?
Yeah.
And it's difficult to explain. Like I'm far away,
Yeah.
so they forget they're mic'd up
Yeah.
because it's natural, and they just go on with their day. And they talk in a way that if they weren't mic'd up, I wouldn't hear it because they're like 20 meters away.
Yeah.
Okay. But I actually do. So it's I don't know, it's incredible. Like I actually feel I'm there with them, but I don't bother them with my presence. You understand
Yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah, and is it just you shooting, or do you have a someone else that helps you, or is it just you?
Okay, so up to now it was only me shooting. But last year I actually did 130 days abroad, and my
Jeez.
daughter, huh?
Jeez, that's 130 days abroad. My God.
Yeah. And my daughter actually started telling me again, 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 and like I have a clear view of what I want my life to be, and I don't want to be a workaholic. Like, and for me, what I do is not even work. Like, it's passion,
Yeah.
but if it becomes something that
That consumes you.
consumes you, and it's actually what happened last year. Like I worked a lot, and but it was too much, too much.
Gotcha.
Like I've done things, I've done working hours that you couldn't imagine. Like last year I was at the ATP finals, and it was scary. Like the amount of hours I worked, like 15, 17 hours per day for
Yeah.
2 weeks consecutive. I got
Yeah.
like 39 of fever. And then I traveled with 39 of fever to Malaga for the Davis Cup finals, and I worked there
Yeah.
for the next 7 days. And after tomorrow, I'm gonna go to the ATP finals. So it's quite scary because that's gonna happen again.
Yeah.
And so now answering to your question, I understood that if I want to grow, it's not anymore about Max Gagino. It's about backstage tennis as the best content team about tennis
Yeah.
worldwide. And that's my
Yeah.
goal right now.
Love
And my
that.
goal is to set it in my own city, which is Genoa, which is
Yeah.
a little city of 500,000 inhabitants.
Yeah.
And a calm city where if you want to work, you need to work in shipping or stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I want to make the greatest content creation company about storytelling for tennis in the world here in my city. And right now I'm training two guys, a girl and a guy, and they're 21 years old. And I used to do it the wrong way. I tried for the past like 8 months training people that were professional video makers but know nothing about tennis. And it wasn't working because it's such a specific job. You need to know about tennis. So I got these two kids, which were tennis players, stopped playing tennis and fell in love with video. And now I'm teaching them to do video.
I
So you
love that.
need to know tennis. You need to know the sport if you want to
Yeah.
tell stories about it, I think.
I
So now
love
it's,
that.
yeah.
I
And
love
actually,
that.
Lucrezia, which is one of them, she's coming to the ATP finals with me. So,
Amazing.
yeah, it's
I love
going.
that. That's incredible. And Max, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your day. I know it's kind of late where you are, so I won't take up too much more of your time. I just really appreciate you sharing your story and telling us what you've been through and what you create, and I can't wait to see what more you're gonna do, because you have a very special and unique story, and we can't wait to see how big you're gonna grow.
What
So
would you
Max,
like to see? Sorry for the question.
no, please. What was it? What do you want? What do I want to
What would you
see?
like to see? What do you think the channel is missing? Like, what do you expect? Who would you like to see?
How, what's the youngest player you've recorded or mic'd up?
China. He's the actual right now. Everyone is talking about him. He's from Palermo, Sicily, and he's like a 17-year-old kid, which everyone says he's gonna
He's
make
gonna be
it.
the next guy.
Yeah, China.
China.
The French China, yeah.
Because I was thinking when you were telling me about parents that have like that want to push their kids to that next level. If you did an episode of if you find like a parent child coaching relationship, what that dynamic could be and how that's different from a, or you can see like when you film that, see if there's a difference between that kind of coaching relationship and a coach and player. Even if you're doing high level junior players that also have a social life doing their like their whole day with schoolwork, like their routine with it. Because in the US we know we have seen, especially through the college route, for me, you see what these kids sacrifice, or like if they're doing high level, they're going to Florida, they're going to Texas, they're going to California. But in places like Italy or Germany, Spain, like all these academies that do still have schooling, what that is like abroad. I think that's a very interesting angle that you could go for as well. I'm sure there's a lot more that I would love to talk to you about offline. But that for me, that's I think just to understand the sacrifice of, say, a 14-year-old that's a second year high schooler. What, like, how good is their routine versus someone that's like a Chino who's 17 and already competing internationally? Like, what, like, 2 years in age difference?
Like I've seen some stories you couldn't believe in, and I wanted to do a documentary about the parents.
I would love that. Honestly, for me, some of the parents here are, they can be a little too much. I've never had the chance to see it when I was living in Italy to see that level of parent, but here I see it all the time now coaching.
Yeah. Like I met these two parents. I'm not even obviously gonna make names, but
Please don't.
his parents of these two kids, and Muratoglu told them, "Your kids are phenoms and whatever and blah blah blah." And these guys actually left their jobs in the States to come and live in Europe and are like, sold the mortgages and whatever they had, just bet all their lives on their kids. And I was looking at them and I was thinking to myself, like, do you imagine the risk of this? So it's admirable,
Yeah.
but it's scary on the other side, you know?
Yeah.
What these parents, for the love of their kids, are able to do, having one possibility out of a million of making it. Like, it's incredible. It's incredible. And I need to make a documentary about this
I would
because
love that.
actually they live like they actually make the family even more united. Like it's wrong, right, whatever you want, but watching them rooting for the kids because their actual it's quite twisted, but like their actual lives depend on those kids. So
Yeah,
it's
it's a make or
toxic.
break.
It's a toxic in a way because too much pressure on the kids, even if they don't want to show it. But on the other way, it's like this family that they're a rock together and they do everything to make this dream come true. Like it's incredible to watch also.
It's scary, I think. I don't know if I've told this story before, but I was at a junior ITF tournament in Uruguay, and I was sitting down with two other guys who went to or schooled at home just to play more tennis throughout the week. And we sat down there and thought, okay, the world population is 7 billion. The total amount of people that probably play tennis is probably 100 million. Break that down even further. We'll go 20 million that probably play competitive tennis. Now, break that down from competitive tennis. Out of the 20 million, maybe a million people are worthy of getting a professional ranking. Out of the million people, 100,000 people probably achieve an ATP or WTA point. Out of those 100,000 people, probably 1,000 people are able to make a living off of it. Out of those 1,000 people, probably 50 of them are making enough money to support them, their family, and their. So it's like microscopic numbers compared to the total, which is like you just put it all in perspective. It's like they're this little of odds. But if you think you're the one to break them, be my guest. Like I knew that I couldn't. Like, I still love competing, but I know I'm never going to get to that level. But it's funny to see who thinks they are going to do it and who's not. It's wild.
It's wild.
It's wild. Max, thank you again so much for joining us. If you haven't heard of Backstage Tennis, I implore you to go check out this man's channel. It's amazing, the highest quality content you can find on Instagram. Go follow it down in the description below. Max, thank you again so much for joining us today.
Thank you guys. All the best.
Thank you.